The only way to success, you want real success. You know, I tell you what, there's only one way to have success, and I hope you get this. Look at Luke 6:38. Boy, is this an incredible text. Give, Luke 6:38, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall man give into your bosom. For the same measure that you met, withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now, this is the Word of God. This isn't me making something up. Now, when you watch sometimes on television and you watch the, I call them the crazy Maddox, every single message, 99 9/10 of every message that they preach is giving and you'll be rich. Well, I'm not saying you'll be rich. I'm just saying that you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And if you'll get this message, you'll be really happy you did. I've got a story, a true story, humorous story. Someone attending the University of West Virginia, Rick Clayton's answer machine went like this. Hi, this is Rick. If you're someone for the phone company, I've already sent the money. If you're one of my parents, please send the money. If it's my financial institution, you didn't lend me enough money. If you are a friend, you owe me money. If you're a female, I have plenty of money. Pretty funny, isn't it? You know, those are kind of funny things. Some of you have really funny voicemails. A lot of you have kind of funny voicemails. And people answer it and they say, wow, what is that? Do you really believe that it's hard to give to God? Now, some of you think it is. Some of you are what's called stingy. Now, you've heard me say through the years, I cannot take a person that takes a bill, here's a $5 bill or a dollar bill, and they making sure that nothing's sticking. You ever met people like that? I remember the guy that owned the camp that we bought before we bought it. And he said to me, he said, I have often believed if you take care of your pennies, you'll have dollars. And he said, I hoard every penny. Do you ever know someone like that? I can't stand those kind of people. I kind of want to hold my billfold. I don't want them to be able to get to my billfold. And they say, they're really tight. And they do this. You hear it? They do that, and it kind of drives me crazy. Let me tell you something. Those kind of people, they don't have as much as I have. You say, wait a minute, well, they might have more money. Well, they might. You know, I've been around a long time, and I still have a mortgage. But I'm rich. I'm rich. I'm really rich. I'm so rich that I feel so happy. And I don't worry. I don't worry. I had a person talk to me the other day, and she said, James, aren't you scared? What happened in the Ukraine? And what happened in Israel? Aren't you scared? I said, I'm not scared at all. Well, what if this country goes down? I'm still not scared. Well, what if we lose everything? I'm still not scared. Because the most valuable thing I have is my eternal salvation, and I can't lose that. Aren't you glad? Man, that's valuable. Are you really saying you don't worry? I am. Well, what if you lose your house? Well, then I'll just go live in the street and know that I'm going to soon go to heaven and starve to death in the gutter. You say, oh, that's terrible. No, it's not. You say, are you real? Now, I'm not going to try to lose my house. I'm going to try not to do that. But yes, I'm going to not worry about that. We shouldn't. But you know, one of the easiest things we do in our Christian life is give. You say, oh, no, that's hard. No, it's not. It's one of the easiest things we can do. If I said to you, quit thinking of green frogs, you're immediately thinking of green frogs. And if I said, if you think of green frogs this whole week, you will go to hell. Well, if that was a requirement, you're going to think of green frogs all week, even if you knew it would send you to hell, which it won't, of course, but you would still think of green frogs. That's hard to stop. But if I tell you to give, that's really not hard. I hope we get it. Look at Deuteronomy 31, 7 and 8. And Moses called unto Joshua. I love that, don't you? Moses calling Joshua. And said unto him in the sight of all of Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto thy fathers to give them, and they shall cause them to inherit it. God's going to go with you. Now you say, that's no big deal. Oh yeah, that was a real big deal. How would you like to be Israel right now? How would you like to be Israel, and they're getting thousands of rockets, 80% of their population is in danger. And now some of you are saying, how are we possibly do that Israel trip? Well, of course, if it was like this, we wouldn't do the Israel trip. But it won't be like this. You give it another month, and there won't be any rockets coming. Why? Because they realize they can't beat Israel. But Israel has to go and go into that land and defend themselves. And what does our president say? It just makes me so upset. He says, I want both sides to restrain. If we were getting, what would happen if Chicago got 100 rockets shot into Chicago this last week? Do you like someone to tell us to restrain? Come on. It's not Israel doing this. It's the Palestinians, it's Hamas. And they're the ones doing this. And it's a terrible thing. Now, do I want to see Arabs killed? Absolutely not. I don't want to see anybody killed. But what are you going to do when your people have to live in bomb shelters? What are you going to do? You going to let it happen, or you can't let it happen? You can't. And the Lord, He doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. You say, well, is this the end? Are things getting so bad? I personally, and I know I've said this, and I don't think another preacher believes this, I still think we're going to have one more short period of prosperity. Can I prove that? Absolutely not. I've got some biblical reasons, but I might be wrong. I've been wrong before. I could be wrong on this. I really could. And so could you. We just don't know. But give consideration between courage and money. If you're afraid to give to God, you don't have courage. You don't have courage. There's no courage in you. You say, why? Because you're afraid that if you give your money, God won't take care of you. That's what you're afraid of. Let me tell you something. Can I tell you something? God needs no backup plan. Someone will tell you something, and you'll sit there and believe it. I've had people tell me, but you have to have a backup plan. If you're going to go to Chicago, my first brother-in-law said, I'll never own anything. I'll never own a house. But we didn't care if we owned a house. That's not why we came. We came because God told us to come. You say, well, there's danger in Chicago. And there is. There's lots of danger. Where we were was a very dangerous place. But God told us to go, so we were protected. That's what God does. And Pastor Paul said this once. I don't exactly remember when, but I wrote it down. He says, there's joy in obeying before the blessings come. You're going to get blessed when you obey, but there's joy. Every time you give, and you know, you should give a little bit more than you can afford to give. I don't mean be crazy or anything like that, but our life depends on the fact that God goes before us. If God didn't go before us, would we have a chance? We would have no chance. We're called to give freely, cheerfully. Look at Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. You know, when you're happy, they were talking on some medical show today, why the queen is so happy in England. And she's pretty old. Isn't she like 89 and or something like that? They said, because she laughs all the time. She laughs all the time. And she's lived to be pretty old. Have you seen her and her husband? Man, they look pretty good. They really look pretty good. I think at 89, I probably won't look half as good as the queen does. I'll probably look like a lady by that time. Now, if you're a lady, that's an honor. But if you're a man, that's not so good. So, I hope you get that. 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Do you get cheerfully? Do you give because you're blessed? Do you give? I hope so. How do you give? Do you give cheerfully? We have a lot of cheerful givers in this church. We really do. They just love to give. It's not hard. It's really not hard. You want to get blessed of God, you have to give. It's an imperative command, our text today. The Greek tells us our act of giving is to be continuous, that generosity is the way of the believer. But not all of you do that. Some of you say, I can't afford it. Well, listen, you could, if you really trust to God, obedience and submission and trust to the greatest. Who's the greatest giver the world's ever known? Who can tell me? Who's the greatest giver that's ever lived on this earth? Who can help me? Christ, of course. So we should be givers. Typically, we look to raise our standard of living, but we're looking the wrong way. We should be raising our spiritual life. That's what God wants us to do. You know, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, one out of every six verses deals with money. Of the 29 parables, 16 of them deal with a person and his money. Isn't that something? We tend to spend a lot of time accumulating. Did you hear about the guy, and he was real wealthy, and he got real sick, and he had no money left. I said, what happened to him? Well, they said he lost his health getting wealthy, and he lost his wealth trying to get healthy. Not a good thing, but a lot of people do that. They just don't get it. They just don't get it. Now, do I think we should all do some exercise? You know, for the last 3 months, maybe 4 months, I've been walking 5 miles a day except Sundays, and I've kept that pretty much every single day, and that's a lot to walk. But I do it, and a lot of you are doing that, and you have bands on your wrist, and you walk, and it has really helped. It really has. I feel good. And you know, the hardest thing for me was not my heart or not my lungs. My legs hurt at the beginning so much that they would just about kill me, but I still walk. Can I share this? My legs don't hurt. My heart doesn't hurt. I think I'm doing pretty good. I'm going to disappoint some of you because I'm going to be around past the queen. I don't know. Only God knows. I don't know. I don't even care. It doesn't even matter to me. Here's the principle. This was written by Wade Hughes, Sr. If you want to change what you're getting, change what you are giving. Amen. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. Matthew 13:44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, for the joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and buyeth a field. Isn't that good? That's really good. It is really, really good. Sometimes I think too many people don't try to get their faith to be bigger. He blesses us here at Quinton Road with a functioning church. I think the best people, I think you're better than any Southern church. That's a big statement, but I think you're better. And God blesses us, and it's hard, I know. Sometimes you get up and you're so tired. I understand, but it's still worth it, isn't it? You know, sometimes I ask, you know, I worked many, many hours when I was in Bible college. I did 12-hour days. I did 6 days a week. Figure it out, 72 hours. And I took Greek and systematic theology at the same time. And I had a youth ranch in Homestead, Florida. How did you do it? I have no clue, except I was young. I see these young kids and they work so hard. My grandson comes and mows yards, and lots of you mow yards, and you work day and night. And it's so refreshing to see people that are working so hard. So hard. The basic principle, if you want to change what you're getting, you must change what you're given. Do you get that principle? I hope so. I hope so. Are you worried about the future? Listen, I have never seen anything happen, what's happened in this country. I have never seen anything. I have never seen, after a plane was shot down, our president goes to a fundraiser. Remember President Reagan? And when the Russians shot down a plane and he had his vacation in his ranch in California, you know what he did? He stopped didn't even start the vacation, came back to the White House. Well, listen, I pray for our president. I pray for our president. I'm not against him because of his race. But I don't like the fact that our country's left hanging in the balance. I've never seen that before. I've never seen it. But according to the Barna organization, only 7% of all the Christians that go to church every Sunday, only 7% understand that spirituality is more important than having a nest egg. That's not very good, is it? Not very good. 7% believe that spiritual wholeness is a more important thing than anything else. How is it possible to have 120 million Christians attending church every Sunday and they don't know what wholeness is? They just don't know. And that's not what we're supposed to do. Just not what we're supposed to do. You can give and not love, but you can never love without giving. Giving and forsaking are the good team members. Giving means to share, to bear, and to yield to another. Change possessions to commit to another's trust. Enter wholeheartedly into the activity of giving. For that is the only way to success, is by giving. There is no other way. Say, but I don't have anything. Well, that's one of the reasons. Now, we're not going to take another offering. I'm not going to do that. Have you ever been in a church? I was in a church once, and they took up 5 offerings. They took up the first one, counted, so that's not enough. They took up another one, and they counted, it wasn't enough. He says, you're not going home until you give enough. Wow. You remember that preacher? He used to be on Channel 38, and he called his show Fresh Oil. That's a pretty good name, Fresh Oil. I don't mind the name. And he told all his people, he said, I want all of you to trust me and hand me and give me your credit cards. So they all gave him his credit card. He put thousands and hundreds of thousands on their credit card, and they haven't found him since. Now, I wouldn't ask y'all to do that, even if you would trust me. I said that to one of our board members once, happened to be Mike Darlin, and he said, Pastor, if you said to give your credit card, I'd give it to you in a second. But I would never ask that, because that's bizarre. That's weird, isn't it? So I would never ask that of you individually, but if all of you want to bring him up tonight, you can. I can't believe I said that. Oh, boy. No, I wouldn't do that, because that would be bizarre and weird. But God wants you to be able to give. And he'll bless you if you do. He really will. He really will. So I want you to be able to learn to give. I'm going to give you time to think about, here's this handkerchief represents sin. God says, I love you, but I hate your sin. You got to be sinless. None of us are sinless. But Christ on the cross was totally sinless. He paid our price. You know, today we did 8 pre and post just to stay ahead. And every time that either me or my son would give the gospel, my heart would just bump, bump, bump. I just love it. Don't you love it? Give the gospel. If you're here tonight and you don't know how to get rid of your sin, only Christ can do it, because he paid it all. If he paid it all, you can't pay for it. Isn't that good news? That's really good news.